Yesterday, the city announcing, issuing a statement that they've been granted an order to serve eviction notices at various occupied areas in and around the metro. The decision's not final, though. They will wait for a final eviction order from the courts in April. The city says that what they claim was the last step in various interventions, including offering alternative accommodation to many of the people who have encamped themselves in parts of the city. These include places along Buitengracht Street, FW de Klerk Boulevard, the taxi rank on the foreshore just opposite the Chris Barnard Hospital, here on Helen Suzman Boulevard. What's not included, though, is the homeless people at the on Strand Street at the castle. That area falls under the mandate of Public Works and is managed by the South African National Defence Force. Joining me now, Danielle Lowe, attorney at Ndifuna Ukwazi. Good morning, Danielle. Thanks so much for joining us. I take it with all intents and from what I see from Ndifuna's statements and response to this eviction notice being granted that you'll be challenging this eviction order.
Good morning, Lester, and good morning to your listeners. So, Lester, we are indeed interested in the statement that the city made, naturally, because we are an NGO that deals with resisting evictions and displacement, especially from previously exclusive areas and what we call well-located areas. So we are certainly interested in any evictions that happen within the inner city. But to answer your question, should we be approached by any of these individuals who are in fact now affected by any eviction notices that were served or that are being served, we will certainly consider these requests for legal representation. And upon our assessments, we will then offer legal representation.
Mm. Danielle, was it only a matter of time before the city turned to the courts to evict? The city says it has space for 300 people. I'm sure there are more, just in terms of from the number of sites and people around that. I estimate it'd be more than 300. But was it only a matter of time, do you think, that the city turned to the courts to evict people from the streets?
Mm. So you'd recall in during the national state of disaster during 2020 and 2021, Ndifuna Ukwazi took the city to court on two occasions. The first occasion was when the city approached the Greenpoint Tent City community and conducted an extra legal eviction where it relied on provisions of the bylaw, the streets bylaw, to evict people. So they did the same thing in District 6. So it is in those cases where we challenge the court and where the court in the District 6 matter found that, or actually in both matters, the court found that the city's actions were unlawful in that it did not rely on the national legislation, the PIE legislation, to evict the occupiers, but instead it relied on certain provisions of the bylaw, which was never the intent of the legislature when it enacted this bylaw. So in our cases, we asked the city that, look, if you want to evict these occupiers, you need to go through the lawful court process. So it is, in fact, now the lawful court process which the city has initiated. So we are naturally grateful that the city is going through the lawful process, specifically because the PIE Act contains certain safeguards which the court would be enjoined to consider. So a number of these safeguards that a court considers during the PIE eviction process is, for instance, looking at the personal circumstances of the individual standing to be evicted. It also looks at the provision of alternative accommodation. And this brings me to the second part of what you just asked me, which is this enough? So the city is saying that it is creating around 420 new beds in the inner city. It's creating 300 new beds in Greenpoint. So what we do know is that during 2020, there was a study by U-Turn and MESS, namely the cost of homelessness study, which said that there is around 14,000 homeless people on the streets of Cape Town. We know that those numbers are pre-COVID numbers, and we just have to look at our inner city to know that those numbers are definitely more. So naturally, it's a good step by the city to increase the number of beds. We are concerned, though, that this is only going to be one form of bed, because
let's get into the form of shelter and why people tend to refuse the accommodation for various reasons. But I want to John Mathan spoke to John Neil Lewis. Yes, I want you to listen to what he said. Can we have a clip, Obi?
We can show record of having offered them all of the social services interventions. No, we're actually making a double-headed application. So we're applying for eviction against on the site that they're currently occupying illegally. We are also applying for an interdict against that person from occupying any publicly owned space elsewhere in the city. So it's a double-headed application. They can't just move over the road, because that would make the eviction laughable if you could just move over the road and occupy a new site. The bottom line is that you can't occupy a public space that's meant for community benefit, for wider public use. Parks and road reserves, some of these places are extremely dangerous. If there's one out-of-control truck on Helen Suzman Boulevard, there will be 10 people, 10 families probably wiped out there if that were to happen. So that you can't just indefinitely occupy these public spaces and indefinitely refuse all offers of assistance. So we have to go to the court and ask for this help. I appreciate that may not in the end solve the problem, but it is the next best step that we can to compel these people experiencing homelessness to avail themselves of the help that we're offering. We're quite confident we can offer alternative accommodation to slightly over 300 people in this application.
Danielle, John Neil Lewis there speaking to John Mathan yesterday. Parts of the interview also acknowledging a incredibly complicated issue of that has legacy elements, but also people's own agency and their right and freedom of movement. The balancing of people's individual rights, the people's rights to where they want to live in their choice, but also the rights of the public and also public safety. I note Jordan's example there of families living on medians on roads in Center Islands, living on the unfinished bridge, living at in Helen Suzman. Could be very, very dangerous places for their own personal safety. So I understand the very complex and intricate nature of this conversation and dealing of people who experience homelessness and the broader public good as well.
For sure. And I think this is what the court will be tasked to do. So a court having to hear an eviction application will have to strike a balance between the potential evictees as well as the person evicting or bringing the eviction application, and as well as the broader society in which the people are existing in. But I think just coming back to the mayor's claims regarding the offer of social assistance. So in our experience, the offers of social assistance were either not forthcoming or they were done in an inadequate way. So what we've learned over the years is that oftentimes what one requires is a sustained process of engagement with people living on the street. So what's very important is for a relationship of trust to be established, because many of the people that are now that are on our streets are people who we can classify as long-term homeless. So there's a difference between someone being temporarily homeless and someone being long-term homeless. And long-term homelessness is a state which is extremely hard to escape from, essentially. So what one requires is patience. What one requires is a true commitment to the relationship, a true commitment to the person that one is dealing with. It is not a tick box exercise. It is a genuine process of engagement with the individuals concerned.
Danielle Lowe, an attorney at Ndifuna Ukwazi. Unfortunately, I'll leave it there, but 19 minutes past 7 o'clock. Your thoughts, your calls, 021-446-0567. You can drop me a WhatsApp, 072-567-1567.